and Jeff going for walks and talks, talk about banksters and Bitcoin and the apocalypse and stuff. It's Lucy and Jeff and tacos and kisses.
How you doing today, Lucy?
Oh, pretty good. Going for my runs. It's nice and cold here in Mexico. But, you know, when we get done with this walk, I'll be nice and ready for some nice warm tacos. I'm like shivering out here. It's so cold. But let's get started, and then I'll give everyone kisses.
Yeah, it is freezing cold out here. We're in Mexico, and it's like literally like almost 0 degrees Celsius. Yeah, you can go pound tacos, Greta.
This is all wrong. I shouldn't be up here. I should be back in school on the other side of the ocean. Yet you all come to us young people for hope. How dare you?
Yeah, it's that global warming, one of many psychological operations that have been done by basically the globalists and the World Economic Forum and all that over the last really a century. Man-made global warming was a complete psychological operation and scam and fraud, just like so many that I'm just about to get into. In fact, the World Economic Forum people recently came out and said that unfortunately people aren't falling for the global warming as much anymore, and they're not even falling for the COVID as much anymore. So they're coming up with their next plan.
That's also, of course, true with COVID, right? We are all only as healthy as our neighbor is on our street, in our city, in our region, in our nation, and globally. And did we solve that? Like, did we actually manage to vaccinate everyone in the world? No. So highlighting water as a global commons and what it means to work together and see it both out of that kind of global commons perspective, but also the self-interest perspective, because it does have that parallel. It's not only important, but it's also important because we haven't managed to solve those problems which had similar attributes. And water is something that people understand. You know, climate change is a bit abstract. Some people understand it really well. Some understand it a bit. Some just don't understand it. Water, every kid knows how important it is to have water. When you're playing football and you're thirsty, you need water. So there's also something about really getting citizen engagement around this and really, in some ways, experimenting with this notion of the common good. Can we actually deliver this time in ways that we have failed miserably other times? And hopefully we won't keep failing on the other things, but anyway.
Yeah, the global warming isn't working out too much. Everyone out here is wearing sweaters. It's in Mexico. Yeah, it's freezing cold out here. You can go pound tacos, Greta.
How dare you?
And the COVID has basically finally ended. I think 2% of people now are getting the boosters. And Pfizer stock has been absolutely tanking, which is why they needed to do this next few operations. And of course, it's also to distract from the fact, because people are waking up to the COVID, so they need to do the next operation that'll shock the world into all, you know, fighting one enemy, which is actually the good guys, and cheering on the bad guys again. It's quite incredible how they do these things. You know, now that most of the people who have gotten the lethal injections, the vaccines, are all dying of heart attacks and blood clots, And they all have AIDS now. 75% of people in Canada have taken 3 shots, all have AIDS. Which AIDS, by the way, was also a psychological operation. It never existed, just like the COVID. It's incredible. But just like with the COVID, they just made up the AIDS thing to get everyone scared of having sex or they're going to die in like the 1980s and 1990s. Of course, Tom Hanks was in on that one too, just like he was with the COVIDs, did the movie Philadelphia.
Good to see you again, Counselor. Judge Tate, Kendall Construction.
Innocuous.
Ah.
How are you? What happened to your face?
I have AIDS.
Oh. Oh, I'm sorry.
He also, he was the first one to really, the first celebritard to put out stuff. Like, he was in Australia and Australian. He's got the COVIDs. He's there on most of the operations. Yeah, the whole AIDS thing, it never existed. All they did random tests, just like they did with the COVID. And they did basically the same thing. When it came back positive, they'd give people medication or vaccines. In this case, medication like AZT, and it would kill most of the people. And then they say, oh, there's so many people dying from the AIDS. It's all an operation to try to get the people to... the AIDS one was not to have sex, which was... I'm still kind of angry about, because I was in the 80s, I was just going through puberty, and all of a sudden no one wanted to have sex anymore, because they're all going to die from AIDS. And that was actually Fauci back then, Dr. Fauci. They just go through these things over and over and over again.
Can you give any kind of an educated guess about how long it might be before some kind of cure is found?
Again, it's very difficult to do that. I can tell you that there are some agents that clearly have been shown to suppress the replication of the virus. This is a very unique virus because even if you block its ability to replicate, it also has the unique ability to hide or live within the cells, such that you might suppress its multiplication, but you might not ever be able to completely rid the body of the virus unless perhaps the body's own defenses come in and do that.
So the latest one, because the COVID is fading away, no one really cares about it anymore. It never even existed, but it's incredible how they can get so many people to fall for stuff. And I think it was Hitler or Stalin or, you know, one of those people who said a long time ago that if you're going to tell a lie, tell a really big lie. And the reason is because your average person, which is, you know, what most of the world is full of, most people are just your average sort of people. They watch the news, they get programmed by the news, and they go to the government indoctrination camps called schools, and a lot of them are really just NPCs. They're just like non-player characters. And they can't even fathom that someone could come up with like plans so big and lies so big. You know, a lot of them will say, do you know how many people would have to be in on it? It's like, yeah, there's lots. It starts at like the higher levels, the World Economic Forum, the Jesuits, the Zionists, all those sort of groups. And they put it out through their networks, and then it goes to the governments, which give it to the mainstream media, which is really government propaganda. And they just start pumping it out. And then all of a sudden people start just doing all these things. And of course there's always... economic incentive too. So people in the hospitals, they're all so happy. They're making so much money during the COVID. But yeah, they always do these big sort of lies and people just can't get their head around it. And part of it is that a lot of people can't fathom how evil you must be to do something so massive. And how can you do that? Like, people can't get their heads around it. Like, how can one guy like Bill Gates do all this stuff? It's like, well, he's super, super smart. Super, super evil. He might even have some help from other dimensions. And he's been spending decades getting into every government agency. All the mainstream media gave him all hundreds of millions of dollars to all say he's a hero. And then when he pumps out his COVID thing, but you have to hand it to him. It's like a huge operation and he worked really hard at it. And it's to genocide most of the world. And actually, I kind of support it. But yeah, your average person just can't get their head around that how high level all these things are planned out and done. And because of that, your average person becomes sort of like the people trying to stop the people telling the truth, like people like myself or Max Egan or whoever. And they hate us and they want to shut us down. You know, it's incredible because... they also, like, take Ben Shapiro, for example. Do you know he's worth, like, hundreds of millions of dollars? Like, what has he done? He hasn't really done anything, but he gets funneled all this money through basically the Zionists, the Rothschilds, to pump out all of his pro-Israel stuff. And, of course, because they own all the social media. They own, obviously, Google. They own FBI book, Facebook. They own even X, which I said from the beginning, I've been proven right, that Elon Musk is a globalist. Then he put in the World Economic Forum person as the CEO of X. On the very first day of these attacks in Israel, Max Egan who's the biggest, he's done documentaries on Palestine. He's probably the most educated and outspoken person on the Palestine situation, was deleted off of X. And of course he's been deleted off of Facebook, YouTube. I've been deleted off all of them as well. Meanwhile, Ben Shapiro not only is on all those platforms, but gets all the algorithms like promoting his videos. So he's got millions of followers, millions, hundreds of millions of dollars. Meanwhile, Max Egan is trying to tell people the truth. They shut his bank accounts down. They banned him everywhere. He's basically living in a room in Mexico, in Acapulco, that someone's just letting him stay in and living off of crypto donations, because that's basically the only thing that he can survive on. While Ben Shapiro's worth hundreds of millions of dollars promoting complete and total lies and war propaganda and promoting genocide, which too, by the way, they let Max back on for a day and then they've deleted him again. And Max sent, he actually appealed with X, Twitter, and they said, he said, you've got this guy out there, Ben Shapiro, basically saying he's putting out lies, war propaganda, trying to incite a genocide, and Max is trying to stop it. And they actually did let him back on, but of course he's heavily, heavily shadow banned. If you look at, like, you know, Max has got like 20,000 followers, I've got like 30,000 or something, it's something like that. Ben Shapiro's got millions, and they actually shadow ban us. So we're basically censored while they're doing this operation. And this false flag, which this is 100% a false flag. And this is the thing that most people are still missing, is about what actually happened. And I've shown a lot of the Israeli military people saying that this is impossible. This is the most guarded 5-mile stretch in the world. They've got so many people just sitting there. They're not allowed to even barely blink. They've got all this technology to see if a bird even comes near the wall. All the sirens come off. But for about 7 hours on October 7th, they all left. It was just completely abandoned. And all of a sudden, paragliders come over the wall and trucks just start driving through. And for 7 hours, they didn't do a thing. If you understand this area, which both Max and I have been to, I've actually been to Gaza, but I went to West Bank, but it's Gaza's like way worse. But if you understand, this is not possible. And so many of them have been saying that.
When I served, there was no internet. So I would sit next to the phone in my shift of the fence of the security of the Gaza Strip. And whenever something would move alongside the fence, I would get a phone call from the human observers that are looking at the gate, telling us there is a chain of command that you have to notify when something like this happens. And then straight away, forces come in to look at what is it and take it down.
So what do you mean when something moves by the fence? How small is
it? It can be a pig. It can be a cat moving alongside the fence or touching the fence or trying to cross the fence. An animal, they would identify it. They would see it.
There are a cat gets scrutiny.
Would trigger. Yeah, it could trigger the fence. Yeah.
And an animal. 25 years later with.
And 25 years later with internet and with the most sophisticated high-tech weaponry systems, and there are drones and there are helicopters and there are troopers on the ground. And, you know, there are many things that are supposed to be activated. There are various lines of defense and layers of defense that are supposed to be activated when something like that happens.
Okay. So I just want to make this clear. I mean, it probably is, but you have a system that is sensitive to anything the size of a cat or bigger. That system, since you were manning it, has had 25 years to mature and become more sensitive, to become more discerning. And yet, how many places was that border breached?
15.
15 places?
If not more, yeah. 15. And that is completely ridiculous, because normally with one breach of the fence, the whole army is triggered. And things start moving immediately. things start moving immediately. And here there was nothing for hours.
So these are real Israeli soldiers all asking the same question of how is this possible? It's not possible based on how it all works. And you have to be careful. There's so much fake news. There's so much propaganda out there, but 98% of it is on the Israeli side. But I don't know who this person is, but they claim to be an Israeli, and they said they talked to their rabbi, who's super connected, and he was told, they were all told to stand down that day.
Netanyahu intentionally let Hamas kill Israelis. Both the IDF and the Israeli Air Force both stood down for 7 hours. You won't believe what a Jewish charity leader told me today.
Israel has the most sophisticated intelligence in the world. There was no way the government didn't know that that was going to happen. Mm. We're friendly with several good people in Israel. One is Rabbi Hananya Weissman. He knows a lot of people in Israel. He knows confidential sources that he shared with us their information that about the stand down order. And he sent out a missive that indeed the IDF was given stand down orders, both the Army and the Air Force, 7 hours to stand down while those attacks took place. And this allowed the terrorists to come in and begin slaughtering and torturing the citizens. Personally, I think that this situation is akin to a family keeping a rabid dog in their home and then blaming the dog when the baby gets bitten. The parents needed to remove the dog many weeks ago, right? Mm-hmm. Before the dog had a chance to injure somebody in the family. So I look at the government of Israel, and they really needed to make sure that these people did not proliferate on their borders. And so they are held partially accountable for having to now go kill God's creations in order to secure their border. This should never have happened.
So you got people out there saying, you know, Israel has the right to defend itself. It's like, yeah, they do, but they didn't on purpose to start all of this, which is going to lead into basically an entire Middle East war, whether it's like all to do like the end time sort of stuff and build their third temple or whatever, but it's all based on a lie. So if you've ever been wondering, like look back at World War One, World War Two, they're all based on lies. The Gulf of Tonkin in Vietnam, Lucy, there's one good thing about the cold weather, and Lucy likes it because it gives her like lots of energy to run to keep warm. So she's having a good time. Baby's having a good time. But yeah, every war is based on lies. Like even, yeah, there's so many, I won't even get into them. But even looking back through history, all these things happen, and people almost always believe the wrong information about what it was. But here you have it in real time. So when you look back like 100 years from now, somebody, and they go, how did that whole World War III start? They'll be told then, probably, if the same people are still running things, that it was the evil Palestinian Hamas people who started the whole thing. It's like, no, that's not what happened. And, you know, it's incredible. Even the people in Israel, a lot of them get it. There's actually been major demonstrations and protests. You haven't seen them on the mainstream media, of course. But like hundreds of thousands of people out in the street, they're all demanding Bibi like step down. I would say not only step down, but be hung for what he did. He allowed this to happen to people in Israel. Like, this is the highest form of treason.
Bibi is a murderer. That's what the people behind me are chanting. Bibi is a murderer. So high here that people are blaming Prime Minister Benjamin Netanyahu for getting into this mess, for thinking about his own political situation for the past number of years, and not about protecting the citizens of the south of this country, not about increasing security, and not thinking about dealing with Hamas in any other way than just allowing them to exist and then, you know, bombing them every once in a while. That there has been no strategic plan. It's been keeping a status quo that is untenable. That's what these people have been complaining about.
And he actually knows that. So that's why he's going full bore on everything right now, trying to create this war, World War III, so that people will kind of forget that he actually started it all on purpose. Because once you get into it, they'll all be in too much fear, or they'll be dying because of the war, to they'll almost forget about what had just happened. But like even the Jerusalem Post did a poll, and 4 out of 5 Jewish Israelis believe the government and Netanyahu are to blame for the mass infiltration of Hamas terrorists. So that's 4 out of 5 people in Israel who say this is the government's fault. I'll bet a lot of them think it was just, this is what they always do. This is what they did with 9/11. Oh, they just made some mistakes. They weren't, you know, ready and all this kind of stuff. No, they actually did it. But I'll bet a lot of those Israeli people who are saying this actually even know that's the case. You have to realize the Israeli people, too, have been under massive propaganda, massive enslavement, and like the Israeli government hates them as well. The Israeli government, it's not a Jewish thing. They've been using the Jews as a way to get a country. This is the Rothschilds. And they actually even hate the Jewish people. They actually have been basically forcing them to get like 4 or 5 lethal injections over the last few years. They turned the whole country into almost like a smart city where you couldn't do anything without digital ID and vaccine passports. And Israeli people actually were super standing up and were about to like basically revolt when all this happened. And hopefully pass this video on to everyone in Israel so they know that it's the Israeli government doing all these things. It's not the Palestinians at all. They've actually set it all up. And the thing that the people in Israel need to do is get rid of the Israeli government like as soon as possible and hang them all is what they need to do. But the other thing that people just most people really don't understand, and this is another thing that people can't get their head around, like with 9/11. It's very well known now by most people that Al-Qaeda was the CIA and Mossad. And a lot of people know now that the entire 9/11 operation was done by the CIA and Mossad. And then furthermore, they created ISIS after that because no one was believing the Al-Qaeda anymore. It was all green screen and the CIA operation. And they said it's all these terrible Muslims. A lot of people know that was the CIA and Mossad. And it totally is. If you look into all the information, it 100% is.
You tell the story about how you tried to find out what they call the Mossad when they deal with publicly?
I thought it was a reasonable question, but the trouble is you can't pick up the phone book. There's no Langley in Israel that you can look up, you know, CIA or in our case the Mossad. We thought we should ask, what shall we call it in English? You can translate the Hebrew words, as I said, Mossad is institute. But when they write a letter to their friends in the CIA or the British intelligence, what do they call themselves? It took a while. It was a matter of asking the prime minister's spokesman. The best you could do, because officially the Mossad is under the prime minister's office. And I think he sort of wondered why you want to know and all that, so we explained. And he came up with the Israeli Secret Intelligence Service. And if it were to have initials, it would be ISIS. And he came up with the Israeli.
But then they hear about Hamas, and people are like, all these Hamas people, they're so evil. They're like killing and raping. There's no evidence of any rape, by the way. And by the way, if you were a real Hamas Muslim, you would never do that, because it's just like with, like let's say they're Christian soldiers. You would never hear about a Christian soldier raping someone. If they are, they're not Christian, okay? It's quite clear that that's one of the things they're not supposed to do. But and then they're like, oh, but they chop babies' heads off. There's no evidence of that. That was all war propaganda to get everyone all hyped up. Oh, they burnt babies alive. No, there's no evidence of that. That actually wasn't really all that much. But they let some guys that they've basically extremified and set up, just like they did with a lot of their groups, and let them run loose for a few hours and didn't do anything. And then they attack 2 million people in Gaza who didn't know anything about any of this, half of which are children. The average age is 18. They're living in extreme poverty. They barely have enough food or water ever, because Israel actually controls it all and turns it off all the time and limits it, which is like a massive, massive crime against humanity. Been going on for a long time. And they just start bombing them based on this false flag, which people need to realize. Please share this with both sides. They need to understand what has happened, or else they're going to fall for everything else that's going to happen. And this is going to lead into World War III, and most people are going to be dead. So, yeah, you might want to let people know if you figured it out. But a lot of people are like, oh, Hamas, they're so evil. It's like, Hamas is a well-known, documented Israeli Mossad operation. They run it. This is well known.
To be fair, we had helped to create the problem we're now fighting.
How?
Because when the Soviet Union invaded Afghanistan, we had this brilliant idea that we were going to come to Pakistan and create a force of Mujahideen, equip them with Stinger missiles and everything else to go after the Soviets inside Afghanistan. And we were successful. The Soviets left Afghanistan. And then we said, great, goodbye, leaving these trained people who were fanatical in Afghanistan and Pakistan, leaving them well armed, creating a mess, frankly, that at the time we didn't really recognize. We were just so happy to see the Soviet Union fall, and we thought, okay, fine, we're okay now. Everything's going to be so much better. Now you look back, the people we're fighting today, we were supporting in the fight against the Soviets.
Like even Scooby-Doo knew. Hamas? Ah, gotcha, it's Israel. You know, even in the Scooby-Doo cartoons, that was the thing. You had these like really nice people smoking weed with Scooby-Doo, and this bad guy would always try to deceive them. But even in the Scooby-Doo cartoons, they'd always figure it out. But in real life, people don't seem to figure things out so fast. But yeah, it's all Hamas. Like, this is like the Israeli government has said they started it so many times. And in fact, according to ICT papers, Hamas was legally registered in Israel in 1978 under the auspices of Menachem Begin and by Sheikh Ahmed Yassin, a political disciple of Hassan al-Banna, puppet founder of Muslim Brotherhood. The Muslim Brotherhood is an equally Zionist organization whose own origins were directly and fully funded by the Rothschild Suez Canal Company from 1928. Both organizations have masqueraded as Islamic. Muslim Brotherhood continues to do so. Yeah, the Israeli government over the decades have said that they regret having started Hamas. Even recently, Mossad chief, so this is like the CIA of Israel, Mossad chief visited Doha, urged Qatar to continue Hamas financial aid. That was in 2019, just a few years ago. The Mossad was urging Qatar to finance Hamas. And also in 2019, here's Netanyahu. He told his Likud party Knesset members, anyone who wants to thwart the establishment of a Palestinian state has to support bolstering Hamas and transferring money to Hamas. This is part of our strategy. So people are like, we got to support Israel as they fight Hamas. It's like, they are Hamas. It's the people in Palestine that are the victims here of Israel and Hamas, which is Mossad. And people are like, well, Israel's just attacking the people in Palestine because of Hamas. It's like, they are Hamas. Like there's one really good guy here, and that's the people in the Palestine who've been under living in an open air prison for like decades, and a super evil group that have used like a false flag attack to go in and bomb and murder and kill so many children, burn them alive. It's actually been heinous. All the heinous stuff has actually been done. All the real heinous stuff, not the lies, has been done against Palestine. And it's just like Malcolm X said. If you listen to the newspapers, they'll have you loving the oppressor and hating the oppressed. And that's exactly what we see going on. Of course, today it's not just the newspapers. It's the television programming and the social media and all the people they buy off, like Justin Peterson and Ben Shapiro. Oh, they got Elon Musk hanging out with Netanyahu, taking him for a spin in his car. They're laughing. He, of course, owns X and is now CEO is the World Economic Forum. So they control all these things. Even George Soros, he's got his fingers in everything. You ever notice everything? He was super involved in the Ukraine. He's super involved in Black Lives Matter, all these terrorist organizations. Here he was in 2007, George Soros, an opinion piece in the Financial Times. America and Israel must open the door to Hamas. Yeah, he was already setting it up all the way back then. And of course, like I said, their COVID, the COVID stuff people stopped caring about, which is like their major... My son's almost pushed the stroller into the park here. Which was their major one of their major operations. And then the Ukraine thing, most people have kind of like gotten bored with that now. And and they're actually about to stop a lot of the payments to the Ukraine, which is a massive money laundering operation for the globalists and the politicians and all that kind of stuff. So they had to very quickly start up another war with a false flag so that they could start sending money through somewhere else, because the Ukraine thing was kind of falling apart. Yeah, they're just changing money laundering operations. It's funny, like Zelensky, he's kind of like, hey, is my like worldwide two-year-long telethon over, where I show up in my green sweatsuit and everyone gives me billions of dollars? So he actually requested to go to Israel because he wants to get in on this. He's like, hey guys, don't forget about me. You know, you're not going to stop sending money through me anymore, are you? Because, you know, we were making billions off of that. And funnily enough, they said, no, you can't come. So Zelensky's out. Like, that's too bad, Zelensky. You had a nice little scam going there for a couple of years. Yeah, 50% off I Stand With Ukraine t-shirts. Those are going to be going into the welfare bin soon. But I have to say, so far, like, we were trying to tell people about 9/11 being an inside job for, like, 20 years before most people figured it out. I tried to tell people about COVID from like almost day one. It was the first week that you even heard the word COVID. I already knew what they're going to do, because that's what they always do. I wrote all about it in my book, The Controlled Demolition of the American Empire. All this stuff. I knew their Ukraine sort of scam right from the get-go. And with the Israeli false flag attack, the Israeli government, I should totally mention, like, it's not all the people in Israel. They're actually victims here too. They're both sides are total victims. This is the thing that people need to get. If people can get this and get rid of the Israel government and hang them all, there'd actually be peace. it'd actually be incredible. Of course, the globalists will do everything they can to stop them, so they'll do even more false flags, but people need to stop falling for them. I would say sign up to our stuff and make sure you're paying attention to our stuff so you don't fall for the next ones. Just go to dollarvisualigner.com. Sign up for our free email list to make sure, because I put out this stuff all the time. And on the very first day that the Israeli false flag happened, I was already doing a video saying everything that it was a false flag, because it was obvious. And, you know, I've been actually posting in a lot of places and getting actually like millions of views now on our videos. I've had to like go around all the algorithms. I've actually had to post to myself. I'm just sitting there copy past all day. But it actually has been working, and people have been waking up to this. And, you know, we're only a week or two into this, and already so many people are starting to figure it out. So this is actually massive. For the first time, we're able to like thwart one of their psychological operations in a big way, very quickly. In the past, like, it took like 20 years for 9/11 for people to figure it out. It took like 2 or 3 years for the COVID. Now it's like 2 or 3 weeks. And here's a CNN poll. Israel's military response to Hamas attacks is fully justified by age. 65 plus years old, 81% of people say it's justified. 50 to 64, 56%. 35 to 49 years old, 44%. 18 to 34 year olds, 27%. Now, obviously, all those numbers should be zero, but notice the one that's like the worst is 65 plus years old. These are always the worst. These are the ones that were all getting their jabs, all telling the governments to lock everyone down because they were scared to die, when they were actually killing them with the jabs, but they don't get it. They've been watching their television programming their whole lives. They've been watching like the history. They retire and watch the History Channel and get fed lies about the Holocaust and World War II and why that happened. It's all lies. So they believe it all, but they're still alive and they still vote. And they totally are falling for this, of course. But the younger you get, the more people are figuring it out. So that's a really good thing. If we can survive through World War III here and the apocalypse, like, the world should be great once all these boomer voters and taxpayers die. Like, they all believe in government. They're all statists. They've all been like, but you know, in defense of them, they've all been under massive propaganda their whole lives, and they didn't have the internet to figure it out. So like, it's not like I'm saying like these people are evil and I hate them or anything, but they've been so propagandized. I've even seen it in my own father. Like, he watches the news every day, the television programming news. He's scared to come to Mexico. He is. He used to be like an arm wrestling champ. He's scared to come to Mexico because the news tells him it's so dangerous. Yeah, it's pretty dangerous down here. You can totally see it's pretty bad. Yeah, we're losing socks out here. We got another sock down. It's pretty rough out here. He's having a good time. But the main reason why most of this is happening is because we're on the cusp of the complete collapse of basically the US dollar and the US government and the Federal Reserve and all that kind of stuff. And the only way they can even try to keep it alive is by borrowing tons of money and spending it and hoping that people don't notice before it hits hyperinflation. And they needed a pretext for that. So they're actually creating all this just to kind of keep the system alive, because it's all dead. I wrote all about this in the October issue of the Dollar Vigilante, which is almost must-read reading. It costs less than $20 a month. It's basically the best magazine on Earth. I'm obviously biased, but it really is. Go check it out, dollarvigilante.com/subscribe. I wrote all about this and why it's all about to collapse. And we make tons of money by knowing all this stuff. And you can too. Like, we featured Bitcoin at $3 in 2011, just so you know. It went to $65,000. It's like a 10 million% gain or something. We do the stuff like that quite regularly. But anyway, that's why a lot of this stuff is happening. They need more wars. This is always the banksters to keep this system sort of alive. And so they send out Janet Yellen, who's a completely demented Alzheimer's, like, senior home patient. And she'll say anything they tell her to say. And they're like, Janet, can, you know, the U.S., which is actually massively in debt, like, it's almost at $34 trillion now. It's going up at, like, I think it's $80 billion a day, which, if you do the math, works out to, like, over $10 trillion a year. Which is like, they actually had a day just recently where they increased the debt by like $400 billion, which would be like, if that was annualized, $100 trillion a year with the debt. Like, these numbers don't even make any sense anymore. The system's dead. And they're just blowing through money, borrowing it and spending, giving it to their friends before it all collapses. So they send Janet Yellen out there. And the question is, can we afford another war?
This is the most threatening and challenging geopolitical environment that I've ever seen. At the same time, the US is in its weakest fiscal position since World War II, with debt to GDP at 122%. Can America, can the West afford another war at this time?
I think the answer is absolutely. America can certainly afford to stand with Israel and to support Israel's military needs, and we also can and must support Ukraine in its struggle against Russia. And look, the American economy is doing extremely well.
As, of course, she's like, of course we can. We can afford as many wars as you want. It's like, does no one even ask, like, does no one even like say, like, why would you even want to be in wars? No, no, it's just like, how many can we afford to be in? Go get my son's sock here. It's like, because if we can afford more, we'd like to be in more wars. This is the state of the world today. This is the state of Kali Yuga. There's your sock. He doesn't want it. Yeah, it's all going down. All this stuff happening is all related to the collapse of basically the American Empire, which I wrote about in my book. Like, if you really want to understand what's going on, read that book. I'll put a link to it down below. Yeah, this is heinous what's going on, but people are waking up to it. There was even an Israeli soldier on CNN, and they're basically saying, like, you're not saying to kill all 2 million of these people in Gaza, 99.999% of which not only had nothing to do with it, but didn't even know what was going on. Half of them are children. You didn't mean you want to kill them all, did you?
I tried to correct you to the answer. The war is not just with Hamas. The war is with all the civilians that...
Yeah, that's what they want to do. And, you know, it's quite incredible. They were just about to roll in with all their tanks. And these people have nothing. Like, there's no... This isn't a war. For a war, you need two countries and two armies. Palestine has no army. Israel has 500,000 personnel. Palestine has no navy. Israel navy has 20,000 personnel. Palestine has no air force. Israel air force has 89,000 personnel. The military budget in Palestine is $0. The military budget in Israel is $20 billion. But yeah, they're lining up all these tanks to go kill all these kids who are just sitting there in Gaza. Like, it's the most heinous thing. The fact that most people were kind of like cheering on this. Maybe not most people. Actually, a lot weren't. But they own all the media, so it looks like all the people are cheering it on. Is so Kali Yuga. Like, cheering on all these tanks going in to kill all these little kids. It's the most heinous thing ever. But they own all the media, and so you have things like the BBC, which is the British Brainwashing Corporation, which is British propaganda media. They say more than 700 people have been killed in Israel. Meanwhile, more than 500 people have died in Gaza. Yeah, all the people in Israel were killed. Everyone else in Gaza who died, they just died. They weren't killed. See how they do that? Yeah, you have to understand that the Zionist people, which is basically these people who want they say they want, it's actually all lies, a homeland for the Jews, because they're not even really Jews. This is the thing that people don't understand. I don't even fully understand either. Like, it gets complicated. But anyway, the people who call themselves Jews, they're mostly Zionists. And they're the ones doing all these things, and they've infiltrated almost everywhere. They own basically Hollywood, which I call Hollyweird, because it's all propaganda programming, which is super smart. They control all the things that control what people think. Like, all the mainstream media, it's mostly all Zionist people. You look at the amount of, like, reporters, there's so many so-called Israeli reporters, which are basically Zionists. But then you look, how many, like, Muslim reporters are there? There's, like, three, and they worked at, like, Kill Gates, Microsoft, NBC, and they all just got, like, taken off the air. So, like, there was only three people that were, like, not Zionists, and they just got rid of them. And they've spent decades, actually, like, almost a century now, of propaganda. Like, if you have not really looked into what really happened during World War II, you really should now, because it's important that you understand. Like, everything they've told you about it is all lies. All of it. If you want to get some better information, there's a documentary. It's like a 10-part documentary. It's quite long, but quite good. Very good. Called Europa, I think, the final or the last battle. I'll put it on screen. I'll make sure there's a link to it down below. I think you can only get it on BitChute. Of course, it's banned everywhere. And it's like all true, almost all true information. Because they ban everything that's the truth, and put out all their propaganda. Like, how many movies are there about the Holocaust? There's got to be, like, thousands of them. And all of them, like, oh, it's so bad, and all this kind of stuff. If you actually look into it, the camps they had for Jews in Germany, at the beginning for sure, were not much different than what the U.S. had for Japanese people during World War II. They put the Japanese into internment camps. It was basically the same thing. And they weren't just killing them all. They had, like, sewing machines and clothes and all that kind of... They wanted to get them out because basically the people who controlled it gets complicated. But basically Judaism had actually declared war on Germany back then. And so Germany was like, well, if you guys are at war with us, we want to get you out. They didn't know where to send them, so they put them into camps until they could figure out how to transfer them to, like, Egypt. And meanwhile, they do all this World War II stuff, which is all what most people think is all lies. Now, of course, some people died. It wasn't 6 million people. It was probably not even a fraction of that. And a lot of crazy stuff happened near the end. The worst actual concentration camp in Germany was done by the U.S., where they starved to death millions of German people. Eisenhower. But there's no movies about that. Not one. You ever notice that? Like, that's a pretty important thing. Like, that was a real concentration camp where they were really trying to kill them. They didn't... You know how you do it? Here's how you can tell. You don't give them food and water if you want to kill them. And that's what the U.S. did. Because they didn't want any of these people talking about what really happened. They wiped it all out. This is all, like, the banksters. This is all the Rothschilds. And, you ever notice, like, there's still all these Holocaust survivors around? First of all, they're survivors, right? Now, don't get me wrong. I'm sure there was a lot of bad stuff there. And I'm sure if I was in there with my family, I'd be really pissed off. Really pissed off. But, you know, this has been so way overblown. All these Holocaust survivors, they're everywhere. It's like, wow, a lot of you survived this thing where they're trying to kill y'all. I don't got lucky or something. But, you know, a lot of them will say, you know, my grandfather died in the concentration camps. It's like, well, how old was he? Like 89. It's like, yeah, the same as the COVIDs. It's like, my grandpa died from the COVIDs. He was 89. You know? Like, this is... But they own all this stuff. And they're pushing all this stuff. And in actual fact, because some of these Zionist types keep doing this stuff, some people end up hating anyone who calls themselves Jewish. Which I just don't do. I'm like... I never collectivize anything. I always deal with individuals. But because of all the things they do, there's a lot of people out there who just hate anyone who's Jewish now because of all the things the Zionists do. And then the Zionists are like, oh, they're anti-Semitic. First of all, that even that word is hilarious. It's total obfuscation. Because the word actually means anyone who speaks a Semitic language. And of the Semitic languages is Hebrew and Arabic. So when these Jews, a lot of these guys aren't Jews, by the way. They've actually totally taken over. And they're using the Jews to do all this stuff. It's actually heinous for the real Jewish people. But they've been under propaganda. They don't even get it. They think they're there to protect them and created a homeland for them. It's not the case. But anyway, they say, if you say anything bad about anyone Jewish, you're anti-Semitic. It's like, anti-Semitic, well, that would mean that you're against Arabic people as well, and Muslim people and all that. See how they do it? Like, they're so devious. The people who do these things, they're the top Zionist type people. They're evil and devious, and they always use lies to propagate everything. But because of the stuff they're doing, a lot of people who are kind of just not very smart, like a lot of people on BitChute, they're like, you know, all Jewish people are just born evil. It's like, no. I don't think so. I guess it is possible, but I don't think so. But anyway, it's all these things that they do that cause people to feel that way. And then they'll call them like anti-Semitic and create all kinds of laws in all these different countries that you can't even question the Holocaust. You know, like what I just said in Germany, like if I go to Germany, they can arrest me and put me in jail for what I just said about the Holocaust. You're not allowed to question it. In Germany. And there's so many countries like that, actually. There's so many countries where you're not allowed to question anything about the Holocaust. To determine the true rulers of any society, all you must do is ask yourself this question. Who is it that I am not permitted to criticize? But it's the puppet, the banksters, the Rothschilds and people above them, behind the scenes, who are doing all these things actually to cause tons of division. They're trying to get a war between basically the Muslims and the West going, because they love war, they love death, and they're trying to stoke this up. And this is all done by them with a false flag. And then they have like people like their Hamas people declare, oh, we're going to have a day of jihad. And actually, so people go out in cities across the world, and most of them, not all, but most, are protesting that Israel is about to genocide millions of little kids in Gaza. Which is the right thing to do. But a lot of people look at it and they believe that Hamas is this, what, you know, that everyone in Gaza are Hamas people through the propaganda. And most of those people think, I can't believe people are out there like supporting baby chopping their heads off and stuff. None of that stuff happened. See how all the propaganda works. So then you get people divided on that side in other countries, and you know, just causes massive chaos. And they try to do this day of jihad. It didn't really work out for them. I'm sure they were hoping that some of these people would do something crazy. So far, there's been like one guy in China stabbed an Israeli ambassador, which is awesome. Like, that's the perfect, what you want to do is kill the people in the Israeli government. Those are the ones doing it. Even if they don't even know why, or even if they're fooled themselves as to why they're doing it, they're the ones behind it. No one in the US did that, of course. Someone in China did it. But most people were out just protesting this genocide in Gaza, and they didn't really do anything, which I'm sure was super disappointing to the Zionists and the globalists. And so I think what they had to do was do another sort of a setup, a sort of like a false flag again, in Brussels, I think, where they gave a guy a gun, and he went out and he shot a couple people, and he said it was, you know, for jihad, because they need that. And then the reason they need that is they're trying to get the West into this war in the Middle East with Iran, which will lead into a war with Russia and China, which will be World War III, and basically almost everyone on Earth will get wiped out. This is what they want. And this is how they do it. And I think too many people are too mind-controlled by the television, they're NPCs, or they're too stupid to figure out what's going on, but try to help them by sharing this video everywhere you can. You know, I'm basically the only one sharing this video, just so you know. Like, actually posting it in other groups, so people can see it. It's amazing, like, I have to do everything myself, but, you know, I don't get the help from the algorithms, they shut me down, they shadow ban me everywhere. But I've been saying that because people are too stupid and too slow, and they're NPCs, that you just have to get away from them while they probably are going to do World War III. Like, oh, I didn't mention, I was going to mention before, it was quite amazing. They're lining up all their tanks to kill the kids in Gaza. And all of a sudden, there was a massive flood, a rainstorm that led into a flood. And they couldn't go in and kill all the kids that day. Like, talk about, that could be signs from above, right? Like, the creator of the video games, like, okay, they're going to do this, I'm going to do this. Like, it's incredible what we're in here. But I've been saying for a long time, get out of the West. They're going to destroy it. It's all on purpose. All this stuff's on purpose to destroy the West. And the people in the West aren't going to figure it out. Most of the people who are starting to figure it out, they all think it's just because of Biden. And if Trump's in, he'll fix everything, which is totally not true. Trump was already in. He didn't fix anything. That's how they did. This is another game they do. This is also the globalists. They created democracy and sold it to everyone as a great thing. And it's just to keep the people enslaved. If you did not know about this movie, you have to see it. It's called The Jones Plantation. Go to jonesplantationfilm.com. I'll put it in the links below. It describes how democracy works, and it's to enslave everyone. And so you have most of the people in the US who even are figuring out a lot of this stuff. They're now siding with like Israel, which is the terrorists. They're calling everyone else terrorists, and they think Trump's gonna fix it when Trump is like one of the biggest Zionists out there. So there's really not much hope for the West. And I've been saying get out, and I've been saying the best place that I know of in the world has been Latin America. Right now, you have a true freedom lover, a narco-capitalist. Javier Milei is close to becoming the president of Argentina. You have Nicaragua just kicked out the Jesuits, which is one of the most evil secret societies, which Trump is a Jesuit, by the way. Here in Mexico, they never fell for the COVIDs at all. They didn't have one law or one rule about it. In fact, the Mexican president said it was all a big pharmacy scam, which it was. And so I've been here in Mexico all through the COVID stuff, just going to restaurants and bars when I used to drink and stuff like that. And There was no lockdowns, nothing. So Latin America is by far the best place. And then you have El Salvador, which they've actually made Bitcoin legal tender, which is so like awesome. So Latin America is the place to be, in my opinion. And now Colombia, one of the things I love about Latin America is the people here still know what's going on and speak the truth. They're not scared to speak the truth, no matter what. And in Colombia, they just kicked out the Israeli ambassador for what they're doing there, which is the exact right thing to do, obviously. But I haven't seen any other countries do it, but Colombia did. So Latin America is the place to be. And just so you know, if you're looking for a place, Nicaragua, there's a great place. People I know have set it all up. A lot of people who listen to me have bought places there. They're already living there. It's ECI Development. Just go to dollarvigilante.com/Nicaragua, get more information. Yeah, so there's like two things. If you're new to these videos, I've been talking about this for years, but in order to survive what's coming, which is basically the apocalypse, there's a few different ways to do it. Definitely one is to get outside of the Western countries. Get out of Europe, get out of the US, get out of Canada, get out of Australia. Some of the better places are Latin America. And if you want to check that out, come check out our conference coming up in February called Anarcapoco. Just go check it out at our website. It's going to have all the best sort of freedom speakers there, people speaking out about all this stuff, all the stuff I've been talking about. And then you can come see what life is like in Mexico. It's pretty awesome. And I've also been saying that really to survive all this stuff, you got to do the self-work. And not many people are going to survive what's coming, in my opinion. And you have to be working on yourself like every day. And for me personally, I do like hours of meditation a day. I also work with all my coaches for hours per week, doing all kinds of stuff. And I'm actually going to be having a one-day event called the Game Changers with all of my coaches who have actually an incredible system. And they've actually changed me dramatically over the years through all the stuff they talk about. And I think it's really important that people do these sort of things if they're going to survive. And so thanks to technology, I'm actually going to bring in my Johnny Dupre, who's actually my hypnotherapist and my coach for like about 6 years now. And he is the leader of this Game Changers thing. He's actually found all these team members to teach people about basically like the seven bodies, which is what we're going to be teaching on October 28th. And so I'm actually going to bring him in here. And he's actually coming in from Texas, and we're going to be doing the event on October 28th. And Johnny, thanks for joining us on our little walk and talk here. We got Lucy out here, and you know, maybe you can just tell people about a little bit of our past history and how we've worked together, just to give people an idea.
What's up, Jeff? How are you, man? Thanks for chiming me in. Good to see you and Lucy out and about, enjoying the weather, it seems. Great question. You and I have known each other for quite a long time now, and your journey's been, dare I say, stunning in the level of intentionality and purpose that you've put into actually growing. And so at the beginning, when you and I first met, most of what we're talking about in the Game Changers virtual event, you weren't practicing hardly at all. In fact, you were reactive, super reactive to what was happening in life and what was happening in your family and everything that was going on around you. And you and I both know being reactive is nowhere near as beneficial as being responsive. And so the first thing we did together is we really got a lay of the land and started to help you figure out where your sticking points were, even in the places that you didn't believe needed any work or any help. You started to notice, especially after all the conversations that we were having, that you were in a place of not really knowing everything that was occurring for you in your reality, because you were constantly fighting fires, just doing whatever you thought the next best thing was, with no real total plan when it came to taking care of yourself and how that connection to yourself directly relates to the success of your life. And so over time, piece by piece, we built in methodically and strategically each of these game changers one by one with focus in a way that would fit your life. Okay? And so you took these steps one by one, and it was really, really awesome to watch you develop these new habits that just became who you were. This is what you do. I wake up every morning and I do these things in order to get myself set up to conquer the day, knowing that if you conquer each day one by one, you end up developing a life, which is the way you exactly wanted it to be. And then once we got to that place, we helped you start to say, okay, so what are the edges I need to push first in order to build confidence and competence so that I can start conquering the ones that are harder? And so really, you've done us a phenomenal job, an absolutely phenomenal job at doing your piece of this, your part of this, and taking that radical, let's call it radical ownership of each and every choice you make. Couldn't be more impressed with the quality of your character, sir.
Yeah, we've been working with each other for like years. And, you know, Johnny actually told me something that shocked me, actually. I didn't think I was that bad, but it was just a few months ago. And he said to me personally, in one of our sessions, he said, you were in the deepest hole, the darkest hole of anyone I've ever worked with. And I was like, what? Like, you've worked with like a lot of people and I was the worst. So maybe you can just sort of explain like where I had to come from on this.
Wow. Yeah. Looking back over the 5 or 6 years has been wild. When I met you, you were completely devoid of any emotional connection to not only yourself, but to the people in your life and to the business, the thriving business and successful business you had created, and to the community you helped foster. You did it because it was the right thing to do, but not because it felt good. You know, you were numb to life. And when you're numb to life, you oftentimes have to create distractions to help manage that numbness. And for you, that was a lot of alcohol. A whole lot of alcohol. And going out to parties, traveling constantly, social events, things like that, that weren't necessarily your cup of tea. You know, from what I've noticed, man, you used to be quite introverted. Didn't really enjoy making conversation or starting conversation because it was, frankly, what you called it was boring. And that most people weren't actually wanting to engage with you on a level that you were ready to meet them on. Okay? And as a result, all these bad habits formulated themselves around your life in the in-between moments. Of course, that emotional numbness then bled itself into your mindset, and your beliefs around who you are and how the world was operating made you quite hypervigilant to games people might be playing, lies they might be telling, things that might be going on. And unfortunately, you didn't have a distinguishing difference between those people in your life that are really, really, really good for you, who aren't lying, who definitely care about you and wanted to see you and your dream become a reality, and those individuals who really were out there just for them. And so it made you a little, I'm not going to call it paranoid, but it made you a little dark. Okay. And you didn't have a lot of friends. Like when you and I met, I think you had like two friends, maybe total. Okay. And one of those friends wasn't even your own wife. And so there was a relationship challenge. There were relationship challenges that were coming up there, because even though you cared about each other and loved each other, the way you two expressed that care and love for each other was oftentimes not holistic or healthy, or embracing, loving, and caring. And so you really were in a pretty dark place, man. And I had to work with you to fight each and every one of those beliefs that you gathered over the course of your life that brought you to that place, to help you get to whatever the next place was, to break through that ceiling and find whatever your next growth phase was. And then the last thing that I want to bring up was this concept of crawling out of a hole before you can fly. And most people want to go from being in a really, really dark place to being this superstar, to being a rock star, to flying, not realizing that it takes steps, methodical steps, consistent steps to get there. And so having to draw your attention to the fact that it was going to take some consistent action with a focused intention to get you out of the hole. And then once you're out of the hole, now you can start focusing on how do I grow wings and actually start, you know, taking to the skies, so to speak.
Yeah, so we're going to be offering this to people, all the stuff I've been going through in like one day event, which will actually lead into a 2-day event at an Acapulco. But maybe just let people know just briefly here. I don't want to take too long, but just briefly, like what they can expect to get out of the Game Changers event coming up on October 28th.
The big thing that we're doing in the Game Changers event that's different than what I've seen in a lot of other events is we're not aimed at inundating and overwhelming and overloading people with things that they need to make changes around instantly and immediately. Oftentimes when we hit things like New Year's resolutions and things like that, we then go, I'm going to make a big leap, a quantum leap in change, not realizing that the quantum leap in change is a complex and complicated way of approaching it. So if somebody actually wants to make a leap, they actually need to think about simplicity, not complexity. And so the Game Changers are a distilled down version of the best practices, the best and most important things that one can do to simply start by changing these fundamental pieces that ultimately lead them to a better life over time as you continue to live them. And we break it down into the 7 bodies: the physical body, the mental body, the emotional body, the spiritual body, the primal body, the financial body, and the social body. These 7 bodies are really the aspects of our human experience that we deal with every single day. And what I wanted at the beginning of my own journey was somebody to say, hey, just start here. This is enough. I know that you watch YouTube. I know that you're inundated by looking at Instagram and watching every, you know, talking head, every superstar in the world giving you their 26 easy tactics to living the life of your dreams. But to actually take those 26 tactics and make them a part of your daily existence, your daily life, is not easy when you have habit. When this is this way of thinking and this way of feeling and this way of being in the world and what you've done your whole life is a repetitious pattern. It's a cycle. And so if you try to interrupt that cycle by creating a massive paradigm shift to completely change who you think you are, pieces of your identity want to fight back and go, yeah, but this is how I've always been. And so changing that approach fundamentally and saying, just start with these simple things. Don't go big. Don't try and go for the gold all right at the beginning. Okay, aim to pick up these fundamental foundational building blocks first, and that's what we're delivering in this virtual event, is just those building blocks to get the journey started, to get the path started. You know, there's a quote that says, the journey of 1,000 miles begins with a single step. These Game Changers are the first steps you take. And when you take those, it develops a momentum. And that momentum turns into, over time, a new destiny.
Yeah, I've actually seen the stuff you guys are working on, and it's going to be incredible. It's going to be super interactive, just so people know. Like, if you come on this event, so just go to dollarvigilante.com/gamechangers. Go read through and see what we're offering. If you come on this event, if you come on it live, be prepared with like a webcam. It's going to be super interactive. There's going to be breakout rooms. It's actually, Johnny was just going through it all with me, like today, what they're going to do. And it's actually pretty mind-blowing. It's the most incredible sort of one-day event I've ever seen. And it's coming up on October 28th. But I'll leave it there. So just go to dollarvigilante.com/gamechangers to check it out. And Johnny, I'll leave you back. I'll leave you there in Texas. I know you got lots of clients that you got to go work with. But thanks for joining in. And Lucy says hi as well.
Jeff, great to see you. Thank you for piping me in, man. Give Lucy some kisses for me and have some tacos today.
Yeah. Thanks, Johnny. We'll talk to you very soon, October 28th, the Game Changers. And like I was saying, though, it's really up to you to know what's going on. So get access to our newsletter, or read my book. It's all in the notes down below. And then to make decisions on what you're going to do, I would suggest you get out of the West. You can come down to a place like in Acapulco and in Mexico in February and see what's going on there. Maybe a lot of people have already done it, because a lot of people think it's like really scary, and it's really not. It's actually scary to stay in the West at this point. And then do this, the work on yourself. And that's why the Game Changer is going to be so important to me. This is really what people need to be in the right state. I've already seen so many people, like Max has been like, he can't sleep well and stuff like that. Because he hasn't done all these things. I actually told Max Egan, I'm giving him a free ticket to the Game Changers. And hopefully he'll come on and make some of these changes. Because, you know, when stuff like this happens, like the Palestine stuff, Max, you know, is having a really hard time. Can't sleep and all that kind of stuff. But part of it is because he hasn't been doing all this work. He's been doing some, so he's doing okay. But look at like Ken O'Keefe, who actually went with Max to Gaza. He didn't do any of this work, and he ended up destroying himself because he hadn't done this work, and he ended up drinking too much and doing drugs and all that kind of stuff because he couldn't handle the state of the world. In order to get through this apocalypse, you have to be ready. You have to be mentally, physically, spiritually, everything ready. And so that's what the Game Changer is all about. And if you're not, you're not only not going to survive the apocalypse, but you're going to have a bad life because you create all of reality yourself. And if you haven't fixed all these things in you and gotten everything all as good as they can, you will just continue to have problems. But anyway, do what you want. I know a lot of people don't want to put in any work. They'd rather go to like 4 years of college for a Bachelor of Arts and spend hundreds of thousands of dollars and get nothing out of it, and then go pay it off working at McDonald's until they replace them with the flat screens. Or you can spend like $140 and in one day get like so much information that will change your life dramatically. But anyway, I don't want to harp on that too much. I did want to bring Johnny on and let him explain what the thing was about. But yeah, so the main thing too is to spread this information. We're actually winning. They said they stopped the genocide because of the weather, which might be possible. It might be because of intervention from above, and it totally is possible. But I think they're also because they're losing. So many people are not on board with them killing millions of kids in Gaza. But if they go and do it, this will probably cause World War III. All the Middle Eastern countries will not stand for this. And then they're going to bring Iran into it. And then the U.S. is going to get involved in Iran. Iran's defended by Russia. Russia's already said. Russia's also got deals with China. This will turn into World War III unless people figure it out. And I don't think people are going to figure it out fast enough, but there is a chance. And so share all these videos everywhere you can. And maybe we can sort of slow down at least this operation, which is World War III, which is their next operation. We'll see what happens, though. In the end, this is all actually a video game. We're in a video game. So don't worry about a thing. But if you do want to win the game or survive the game or have a good game, you got to do the work. And so, I think I'll just leave it there. I think Lucy's already just rolling around the ground. Yeah, you've been talking for a while. I'm just rolling around on the ground. You know, I like getting dirty out in the streets. Never get sick. I never take no injections for no vets. I just roll around in the mud and eat whatever I want. But speaking of that, why don't we go get some tacos? Yeah, see, I just licked the ground. I don't care. I think it's duck poop or something. Doesn't matter. You see, our bodies totally heal themselves as long as you don't inject them with poison. But anyway, I'll just keep licking this. But why don't we actually get something real good, like some real nice, fresh, organic tacos, and then I'll stop rolling around on the ground here, and then I'll give everyone kashish. Oh, you humans, you're all so crazy. You always want to kill yourselves. Anyway, I'm just going to eat my bison bar here. 100% grass-fed bison, uncured bacon. Oh, that's the good stuff. That's what us chihuahuas eat in the wild, too. We eat bison. We always hunt them in packs. Take their ankles out first. Oh, and they're so delicious. Oh, that's real good. Oh, yeah. I'm going to take my time on this one. And then I'll give everyone kishish. Here's a kish. Oh, there's another kish. Give me one more, and I'll give everyone kishish. You don't know.